One of the tools I know I want to refer to right now that you taught our team at the nonprofit is checking in on each other.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love is that you encouraged us that periodically, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10. Hi, and welcome to the Leadership Now series with Nick Vujicic and Christine Grimm, Aria Consulting, 23 years of executive coaching, and I'm humbled that she is my coach. I could not lead without the sound coaching from Christine. I'm so glad, Chris, that we get to coach everyone watching. Tell us what we're going to be experiencing here on this series.
Yeah, we're going to coach you around leadership, around real challenges, how to navigate the challenges that you have right now, and how to feel good about it.
I'm so excited, Chris. You're going to be sharing with us also your pool of CEOs that can bring in and chime in some principles from their experience as well. Thank you for joining us here on the Leadership Now series. Here's today's episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Leadership Now series with Nick and Chris. Chris, great to see you.
Nice to be here.
How are you?
I'm really good.
That's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for doing these series episodes with me. This is such a privilege and honor.
For me too.
I love every moment I have with you. You teach me something new. And I am so glad that you're joining us because off camera, we have so many different discussions, including knowing when I know what topic we're talking about, I'm like, you know, Chris, let's make sure that we teach people about that you taught me. So this is kind of like surreal going back, but really also moving forward with everyone. Thank you for teaching us today about communicating now.
Yeah.
Communicating seems like a very broad subject, but knowing the interesting environment that we're all working in right now, with a lot of uncertainties and a restart, new beginning for mostly everyone, what does real communicating mean now? And authentic communicating. You know, Chris, I know that you always say, Nick, you take this and this and this for granted because you've got this and this and this in your character. And I'm thankful for the character that I have in knowing that I try and do my best with communicating. And I remember, though, I have to tell you a funny story. I had friends of mine in Phoenix, Arizona, who taught me to say please and thank you.
Really?
Seriously. If they're watching, they'd be laughing so hard right now.
Because you weren't doing that?
Because I wasn't saying even please and thank you in my mid-20s. Because Serbians don't ask Serbians. We don't actually say please. Like, there is a word that you can, you know, come up with a word for, but we say thank you all the time. But it's more like,
but you don't say please
really
or
say please. And it took me till mid-20s to actually understand that I need to look people in the eyes more, especially when they're talking to me and I'm talking to them, to look them in the eyes. Communicating, though, goes much deeper in the authentic reality of honesty.
Especially now.
Especially now.
Yeah, I think that right now communicating for many leaders, big companies, small business, government leaders, it's challenging.
Right.
Right? People are, you know, communicating always has the person who's communicating actively, the sender, and we have receivers, your audience, whoever you're talking. So that could be just you and I. It could be all of the employees of your business. It could be a broader audience. It could be your customers, right? There is communication going on, first of all. So if you're not doing it on purpose, you might want to listen. So purposeful communication, intentional communication right now is super important because people are being inundated by messages, as we know. A lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty. So it is critical that leaders, first of all, take a moment, which is why I suggested we do that, and just spend some time talking about communication, not broadly, but really about leadership communication right now, so that you can hopefully get the outcomes you want versus whatever organically might happen, based on someone else's influence, which is usually not what we want.
Right. Yeah. 100%. And so the reason why I said what I said personally is it's understanding honor. And you're doing yourself a disservice and your team a disservice without the foundation of honor. And then once, for me, that's a fundamental thing I've had to learn. But when it comes to leadership, I mean, think of the dysfunctional or lack of information, if you will, as a leader, not being physically with, you know, your team and honoring them in a time where not only do you feel maybe moments of being out of control and out of maybe fear out of control, them as well. And so how do we get to that authentic place of sharing what we're sharing, communicating it in a way that it is clearly heard as well in the right manner? I'm just going to say what we said off camera, what you told me is, you know, there's a lot of leaders right now who might be trying to windle their way and not really sharing with them what's going on, and us knowing what's going on in the media, everyone can see what many other companies are doing in this time, and the fear of... Tell us more about the fear-driven stories that we make up in our own mind that we just feed and feed and feed.
Yeah, I think you just brought up a few good things. So I want to kind of ground us in, I think that what I am experiencing now, I've been coaching people for about 23 years. I think you've mentioned that. Right now is a very interesting and difficult for some time, difficult for many people because of the uncertainty, because of the upheaval, and because many leaders were kind of taken off track because of the change, right? So it doesn't matter how big the change you're experiencing or how small it feels to you, whether it's good. And there are people, places, by the way, remember, there are a lot of businesses that are thriving through this crisis unexpectedly. So they were caught off guard in the same way that other businesses were completely caught off guard in a negative way. Regardless, our leaders like you, right, had a moment where they had to stop and think about, well, wait, now what am I going to say? So I think that everything you mentioned is in the context of leaders, first of all, stopping if you haven't already, getting clear about what is actually happening. What's changing? What's not changing? What do you want to change? What do you not want to change? And then thinking about how you communicate with your stakeholders. And when I say stakeholders, I mean employees. I mean your board, if you have one, your customers. Like I said, your vendors. Most people don't live in isolation. You've got all those groups of people who have a stake in your success. That's why they're called stakeholders. How we communicate with them, how frequently we communicate them, with them, and what you say matters. So to your point, I think right now when I have leaders who are afraid and unclear about the future, they may default to less communication. They may default to inauthentic communication. And sometimes that's lying. I think most of the time it's actually not lying. I think it is people withholding information because they're not ready to talk about something yet. They're afraid of what they might need to say in the future. Like, if XYZ happens, I might have to make this decision. I don't want to tell people that. I don't want to create fear that's unnecessary. And so right now I'm going to hold the cards close to the vest until I know something. And unfortunately, what I believe is happening, and we see it a lot in, like I said, big and small organizations, is that they're getting feedback from specifically now their dispersed populations of stakeholders who are feeling disconnected, who need stability, and stability to them means somebody tell me something. Somebody be honest with me about what's happening. Am I going to have a job? And that's tricky. You and I have talked about this before, and I feel like I have the conversation with leaders now every day, which is, you know, sometimes it is appropriate to withhold information, specifically when you don't know. And in public companies, of course, and bigger organizations, you know, you actually have to be quite careful, frankly, about what you tell the public and what you tell analysts, et cetera, because if you don't know, and you are unsure about what is shifting, it is actually dangerous to your business to put out information that isn't completely real and true and appropriate yet. So it is like a weird little dance we're doing at the moment because there's a lot of uncertainty. And everyone's trying to figure out how to navigate that. And the reason why I brought it to you today is, one, I know that you've been in the middle of that yourself, deciding how and what to tell everyone as your business has shifted, nonprofit and for-profit. So maybe we should just talk a little bit about what it does take. I know you have honor and I know you have values, but sometimes it goes beyond that, right? Sometimes it's just a difficult, it feels hard. It feels difficult because you're actually struggling with what it is that you want to say.
For sure. Where do you want to go? You know, it's everyone's got a little bit of ego in you. And it's hard to feel like you're so lost as a leader on some level. The good thing is before we go there, it's you know, that whole concept, the good is the greatest evil of great or something like that. This has definitely gotten rid of a lot of good stuff that could have just, you know, lingered around. And in a way, you know, like, I'm so happy I'm not on a plane. I this is fun. You know, talking to everyone here through the internet is something I've always wanted to do. I wish I should have, could have, would have, if I only knew now, you know, then what I know now, I would have pivoted that way to go straight to great, quicker to great. In this painful moment, though, it is different to not know so much of the variables. And it's just been a humbling experience where things can change so quickly all across the board. So I have felt a new level of vulnerability that I've had to take and consider and be okay in to sit in the unknown for a bit and let it linger. And then no one has a cookie cutter formula with how long can you sit in the unknown before you really make the decision. Is that my final decision before I make the decision? And how long can you wait, right, before you then start losing sleep over that decision? So having that whole healthy balance without a formula is difficult, but it's been different, very different.
I would coach you and others to do some new thinking if you haven't done it. So someone said to me a while ago that, you know, life is basically a series of now moments. And so oftentimes when my leaders are struggling, they're future tripping, they're living in regret, right? All of the things that seem to be happening a lot now. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. What's going to happen if I'm going to try and project this? And when is it coming back? And how's this going to happen? All of that, like I said, is you know, either living in the past and regretting that and flogging yourself over something that you probably can't change. Or, like I said, like tripping into the future, trying to predict a whole bunch of things. Those really are not ideal states to communicate from. Right? So that's not you at your best. That is no one at their best, to be honest. So if we can anchor into what is right now, like what do we know right now for real? Yeah. And even though we might not like it, this is where the authenticity piece comes. And again, to you, to all leaders, to anyone who's listening, what authenticity means is not, by the way, that you need to share all the dirty laundry, that you need to share too much. It means that you need to share with people in that moment, maybe some things that you weren't used to communicating when everything was great and swimmingly going along or whatever was happening before. It's gone now. But now being able to say to people, I don't know, that is authentic if in fact you don't know. And it doesn't feel good to me. A lot of leaders don't want to be seen as weak, are afraid to tell their people that they don't know. I would say right now, real communication is appreciated. People do not want to believe that their leaders are, pulling over something on them, because I do believe that what is clear is right now, a lot of people are questioning what our government's telling us, what data is real. you know, the broader messages that are coming in, there's a lot of question marks about that. So the last thing they need is to feel that way about their boss, right? So you want to create some moments of authenticity where you can be real, but without sharing too much, right? Like, so I was, if in fact you need a strategy pivot, for instance.
Right.
You can say that to people and say, but I don't know what it is yet. So I need you to be patient. Mm. And in the next week or so, we're going to have a discussion about XYZ. Right. That alone actually is stabilizing for people. And they say, okay, I can trust Nick because he's at least telling me what he's doing. Mm-hmm. So even though it's not a baked cake and we don't know what the future is, I know he's trying to do something. And sometimes that's actually the best thing we can do as leaders. And sometimes, by the way, you have done it, right? Speaking stopped. So that's more than a pivot, right? You were forced to address something that was very significant for both your for-profit and your nonprofit. And I believe you immediately went into action having conversations. And I'm watching other leaders, like some of the ones we've spoken to on this series, you know, not waiting too long to talk to people, not being inauthentic, being real and vulnerable at times so that your people knew that you cared.
Right.
And it doesn't feel good, I realize. But I think that you're a role model, probably more than you know, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Chris. You know, you take me into the shoes of the employees in their mind, where there was a rhythm of this is what you do, this is the goal, this is mm-hmm. what, here's the goalposts.
Yep.
And they know that the goals, they're not there, but without some communication, like, I feel like it's easier to take that vulnerability step and share, you don't know exactly as a leader yeah. what it is, but to keep them feeling like safe. I feel like that's such an important thing of your loyalty, your responsibility mm-hmm. for the emotions and the mental, for someone who's always been told what to do and rhythmic things have collapsed. It's such a great point to anchor. Mm-hmm. And I think that will be always, I remember the difficulties we went through the nonprofit in 2015 mm-hmm. and the people who were still with me, you know, that'll be always a forever measuring stick, mm-hmm. you know, of when the going gets rough, the tough get going, and you know, going back there, and it's like we go back to those good old moments,
yeah,
where you're like, yeah, remember where we came from, you know, and even 2011, I've been in my for-profit, last struggle that we ever had was in 2011 when I went through that personal financial crisis and went through panic attacks, and mm-hmm. that's been brought up in many conversations and around this now. Mm-hmm. And so it's just interesting that as a leader, when you're told to do something that doesn't feel good, what's helped me is when you've told me, but Nick, think about it from their point of view,
yes,
that
100%.
When you say something or mm-hmm. don't say something. Mm-hmm. I think that's just such a powerful perspective.
You know, you bring up a good point. I think let's just call it empathy for a moment, right? Being empathetic to your audience, you know, making sure that your, you know, any communication, great communications people will coach you on, you know, knowing who you're talking to, but understanding what tone you should be using with, you know, whomever you're speaking to. If you're speaking to a broad audience as a leader, right now, I feel like, you know, it is important to understand that most people in some way are afraid and like living at the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy, right? It's about potential survival issues for people, or at least in their mind it is. And as long as people perceive these things to be true, then you can't ignore them as a leader. I had a leader actually the other day say to me, okay, well, our business is actually doing great, so I don't really feel like we should waste everyone's time talking about these other things. And I was like, time out. Like, if you're on this planet right now which I'm assuming we are, we're here together. You can't ignore that. You can't be tone deaf, if you will, to the issues related to not only your employees today and your customers today, but the ones you want to have in the future. So if you want customers in the future, then you actually need to take into consideration the broader understanding of who is your business, what are your values, what have you been telling the world, are you living your values through the way you communicate right now? If you're not, then today is the day for you to start doing that, right? Character shows in these times. Adversity brings out who we really are. So it really is a moment where, if you haven't done it already, to, you know, start communicating more frequently, start communicating maybe a little bit more real, whatever that means. And if you're not planning for the future, to start doing that and then start talking about the fact that you're doing that, mm-hmm. right? Some people are missing that too. I find a lot of leaders are telling me that they have back skunk works. They have things going on in the back. Someone's trying to figure out what's going to happen. I'm like, okay, well, then talk about that. You don't have to tell them what it is, but tell people something so that they can have hope.
Right.
Right? That they can maybe even start to add new ideas or be creative or be a part of the solution or be a part of the future, whatever. Like, frame it in whatever ways.
One of the tools I know I want to refer to right now that you taught our team at the nonprofit is checking in on each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially with us not being able to see each other, a lot of texts, a lot of emails. Mm-hmm. Sure, there's phone calls, and you're in there, you're in the operational mode.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love is that you encouraged us that periodically, how you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, with all of these variables, you know, everyone understands. Everyone's gonna have grace and mercy, where we know that we're not all at our best,
mm-hmm.
but to still make sure that we are checking in with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, as a CEO leader, when everything's going good and it's the first time that we, you know, checking out the pulse, I'm like, what, really?
Right.
Like what?
Right. You got married? When did that happen? What? Yeah.
You know, your stress level, are you sleeping well? Mm-hmm. What's something that is just bothering you? Is mm-hmm. there something you want to bring to my attention mm-hmm. in your job? I think those kind of cross-connecting pulse checks.
Oh, look, 100%. I don't know what statistics are accurate, so I'm not going to quote them right now.
Yeah, sure.
But I have been seeing a lot and talking to a lot of people around their concerns for people's mental health. And you know, that is coming up in corporate conversations more than it ever has before. You know, we're crossing boundaries because people are working from home. They're on video. So like you were saying before, and we've talked about before, you know, there's a blur here. And so issues around mental health, depression, anxiety, isolation, any of the issues that kind of stem from those things, they're there. They're very real for anyone who, even before this situation, had any kind of trauma or fear or other issues going on in their life. That is amplified at the moment, whether leaders want to know it or not. It's happening. Like I said, I don't know what stats are real, but I know that what is real is that we have people who used to escape their lives and go to an office with their corporate mask on, or fly away on a business trip, or whatever else was going on, so that they didn't have to really deal with whatever issues might have been in their home or them personally. And right now, there's no escape from those things. Mm. And it's behind them on the Zoom. So it is there. So I would say to you, even though I don't want leaders to be therapists and I don't want them to try and solve problems that are outside of their scope, I do believe that connecting with people right now and actually caring how they are, to your point, like not just worrying about productivity, but how's your mental health? Like asking that question, are you okay? Mm. And, you know, I've never thought about asking about people's sleep patterns, to be honest. You just said it and I was like, oh, interesting. But I know with my own people, you know, I'm asking them, how fatigued are you when you've had 6 video calls in a row? It's a thing, right? Yep. This is not easy what we're doing. It feels a little monotonous to many people who have never worked from home before. you know, sitting in a chair, maybe in their kitchen, maybe in their bedroom. It doesn't matter. This is taking a toll on people because we thought it was temporary. And now it seems to be something that's going to go on and on. So what felt like, okay, I'm going to do this for a little while and then go back. Yeah. Now people are like, I don't know when I can go back. So again, we're talking about communication today, but I do think as a leader, you are right. Like connecting with your people as humans is as important as connecting with them as the people who are doing work.
You know, an interesting idea just popped in my head with this. Like, if we continue on the mode of operation as is, quarantined, where corporate America totally looks different in the future, where commercial real estate looks pretty empty.
Yep.
Could it be that understanding the productivity and excellence of your company solely being dependent, technically, a majority on the mental health of your team, just like Sean Lipman already had someone, one of our previous CEO guests, amazing episode if you didn't watch that one about resetting the goalposts. He has someone checking up on every single person.
Right.
Could it be that that would be the mode of operation if this continues on? Because if you don't do the crossing of the T's and dotting of the I's on that, will that not, in a way, affect negatively your company foundation?
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's amazing that I didn't tell you this yet, so you read my mind. I'm working on a program with Dr. Elisa Hallerman, who someday I'll introduce you to. She's amazing. She's a trauma specialist. She works in addiction and recovery and mental health. And is amazing. Really, I can't say it enough. And one of the things she and I have been talking about is a program for leaders, pushing out questions like you just asked, like what happens when wellness becomes about survival? And I think we're there. I think we're about to be there in a very big way. The workplace is absolutely changing, Nick. Like we see not only companies already talking about, at least not in 2020, people coming back to work in an office, or only certain people coming back to work in an office. But we're also having conversations, you know, about what that looks like. Like, will people have to wear a mask? Will people have to social distance in a new way, which means the cubicles that used to sit next to each other won't be able to do that? You know, there are all those conversations happening right now, projecting out into the future and thinking about that. And all of that will absolutely impact not just productivity, but how people feel about work. You know, I don't think in this country, at least not in our lifetime, that, you know, we've had a situation, really in America, we haven't had it probably ever, where the workplace maybe felt threatening to people. And so I do believe that a new issue for the corporate environment is wellness beyond what used to be a wellness program, which had a lot to do with helping people exercise or you know, promoting all those things. I think that's going to expand. I think that organizations are going to have to be concerned in some way about the health of their people, about how they feel about the shift in the way we work. You know, technology is now not just a luxury item. You know, everything that, well, what, 6 months ago, you and I were maybe talking about a podcast, and look what's happening now.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, all of that is very real. I think that we have a generation of baby boomers and I forget, is it Gen X? Next one, that's probably me, but I forget the name. Anyway, we have people who are not digital native, who are experiencing work now in a new way, who are afraid of what potentially happens as we move forward. So all of these factors are a part of this. I love that you're thinking about it. I hope all leaders are starting to think about it and at least put it into their consideration around, again, how they're talking to people who have all of this in their brain. Anyone who's paying attention to the media right now, anyone who's on social, and I hope you're all taking a break from it, not just only watch us, but really be careful about what you're letting in and what is real. And again, anchoring to now and trying to keep people focused on what we do know and not trip too much about what we don't know, but also being responsible enough with your, at least your leaders, to start to think about, you know, how do we allow people to, I hope this is everyone's goal, but I know it's not. I hope that what becomes everyone's goal is that work is a fulfilling experience for people, not just something that is targeted for ultimate productivity. And how we start to think about that in a new way and talk about it is important. And again, I can't say it enough. I think Sean also said it. So there's again another plug for that episode with Sean Lippman. You know, is just, again, you know, thinking about who are we as an organization? What have we been telling our customers and our employees? And how are we living that right now? And how are we going to continue to live it?
Mm. So good.
Great, it's meaty.
Awesome questions.
It's so meaty. It is. It's real. Look, I think about your, you know, events team. You know, they have to be concerned. They have to be thinking about when, you know, when do we do the next tent? When do we get to go to China? I don't know. You were everywhere all the time. So
I know. I was just in China late 2019. I reckon I already had the corona in me and washed through. It is concerning.
Yeah.
But you have to accept what you have to accept.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. I've had kind of like flashbacks when I was 19 years old, when I started calling schools, you know, seeing if I could be a speaker.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about the ground zero of a guy that has traveled 74 countries, hundreds of thousands of people in the largest crowd. And now I'm having to pitch myself as a spokesman for companies, which is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I already got my first no, and which felt good, actually, because I haven't had to brand, market, pitch, nothing. It's been it's really interesting. And so it's wonderful for me to have a reset. And it feels like it's coincided with my family's decision already to relocate outside of California, which gives me a fresh start. But man, little did we know what kind of start this would bring. And we just have to accept what we cannot change, accept what we don't know so far, but do our best in the meantime and create as much opportunity as you can create. And along the way, I feel like it's interesting on the vein of communication, where communicating again with family, with friends, I feel like it's been a refreshing revelation in me calling a friend. Hey, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Helps you get out of that merry-go-round of you speaking to you and you and
it's
you
completely
and you
true.
And then the media and then this and then communicating for me also thinks of the third party outside of our own little world. Speak to us on that, Chris, because I know that you're a big advocate for that and always getting those reality checks to know that everything's working out perfectly.
That's completely true. Everything is working out perfectly, Nick.
And
whether you like it or not.
And you're not the only one who thinks the world's falling apart. And it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Look, here is something. I want to say two things about what you just said. First of all, now is the time to be having fresh conversations, maybe with people in your network that you haven't spoken to in a while. It is also time for ideation, right? So I would say if you haven't done it, and for anyone out there who's feeling stuck, who's feeling worried, who is, you know, maybe you really do have bad things happening personally and professionally. And I don't want to ignore that because I know that it's true. But I would say to you that sometimes the best way to shift yourself, right, shift into the future is to call someone who you like, first of all, who you enjoy, and brainstorm a little bit with that person, right? That's what ideation is. Like it's the, at its simplest form, it's, you know, creating new ideas, bouncing things off of someone. You know, that creates energy that is fresh. And I think right now people need a lot of freshness, right? I created some ground rules with some of my friends, actually, that we were not going to ever talk about. Like, I don't want to talk about COVID-19. I don't want to talk about politics. I don't want to talk about these things. When we're together, I want to hear about, like, cool things. So we end up talking about really funny things, like, you know, oh, I've been baking this, or here's what my kids are doing, whatever, but keeping a positive conversation. And what ends up happening almost every time, and so I challenge everybody to try this if you haven't already, what ends up happening whenever it stays fresh and high vibration, ideas come out of that. And I mean, some of my friends, men and women, by the way, we have started talking about, like, Christmas shopping right now.
Oh, wow.
Yes, because we got into a conversation where people were saying, this is so monotonous. I'm spending the time. We're watching Netflix. We're watching this. One of my friends said, my mom's going to watch everything on Netflix, and I'm a little worried there's not going to be enough content. And so we were all laughing. And of course, somebody else said, okay, well, our kids should create some new movies. And new ideas came out. Whether any of them happen or not, Nick,
right,
it doesn't matter.
Right.
But what it creates is, like, this super high vibe. And the reason I think that's relevant for leaders is because that's where your fresh thinking is going to be born, right? You will get, you know, just a little jolt of happy and some fun if you're not doing that. And then all of a sudden you'll find that the next day your thinking might be a little different about work.
Yep.
And you know, the other thing I want to say related to what you were saying earlier is communication right now is, you know, we are laying the seeds for the future. Mm-hmm. So everything that you are talking about, and let's just come back to employees and customers. How you're communicating right now is planting seeds. You are planting seeds for the future. So I would be aware and intentional. I would say that to every leader, no matter how short your blurb, whether it's an email or text message or it's a formal communication, you are planting seeds. And as we know, everything is working out perfectly. So in the future, you will experience the results or the consequences of whatever is happening now. So invest in your people, invest in fresh thinking, try to stay out of that yucky stuff as much as you can, solve problems, be authentic.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love that. Those two things will never go old for me. Don't get stuck in the yuck.
Oh, yeah, right.
And the fact that I love what you taught us as a team, that you can't have an interaction with anybody without something changing. Explain that real quick.
Oh, yeah.
That was just so awesome.
Yeah, I invite, a lot of people like to argue with me about this, so I invite anyone to do that. I
argue with her.
Argue
I've
with
tried.
Me.
You'll lose.
That's completely true. No, that's not true. I will listen to anything anybody has to say. My experience in coaching people is that if you take the stance that there is no such thing as neutral, and teach that to your team, right? All interactions matter. Text, email, telephone call, in-person meeting, whatever it is, nothing is neutral. And so if you start to understand that and believe it as a team, that, okay, then what impact do we want to have?
Yep.
Well, if we want to have impact that is going to be positive and then get the rewards of that positive interaction, then we need to be intentional about how we're communicating and what we're communicating and when we're communicating with whom. If we are okay with negative impact, right? Loss of credibility, loss of trust, and anything else negative, frankly, that you can imagine, well, then go ahead and be unintentional, right? Just go ahead and just have that be impromptu all the time, and potentially when you're too emotional or when you're stuck and unclear, right? But just remember, no matter what, you are going to get a result. And so I'm glad you learned that, by the way, and I know that your team did. And I would say that if leaders were to just understand that alone from this and take on that principle, no such thing as neutral.
So good. Great. Christine, anything else for anyone watching right now? Any last bit of encouragement? We got a lot of meat today. It's a lot to digest. In fact, I really encourage you to watch this episode or listen to it again, because there's a lot that you unpackaged for us.
Yeah.
I think maybe some leaders are having to step out and feel like they lack confidence just because they're not sure. How does a leader feel confident taking those steps? Mm. Or is it okay not to feel confident taking those steps that you've shared with us today? Because, you know, a lot of leaders, it's hard to do anything without confidence.
Yeah.
Do you just do it? Is that where courage kicks in, coach?
That was so big what you just asked.
I do it because I'm told to do it, you know?
Yeah.
That's a hard one.
It is hard. We should do an episode on, you know, our egos and what we tell ourselves about confidence and lack of confidence. But to answer your question in relation to communication, I would say that right now, you know, authenticity and vulnerability can actually help you in the right doses with the right people at the right time. So I would urge my leaders, just like I've said to you many, many times, you know, the moments where you're not feeling completely confident, that's okay. That's you being a human. And I know you're a superhero, and many of the CEOs and leaders I work with like to be that. And I like you to be that too. I like it to be it myself. But right now, that's not real. Mm. Even Superman had weaknesses. And that's okay. I don't want it to be your persona all the time. I want everybody to get back to confident. I wish that for all of us. But in these moments where that's not possible, then please don't try to fake it. Right? Just like I said, if you have to have a moment with your people and be authentic and just say, I don't know, and it feels bad to me. I like knowing the answer. And I want to know the answer for everybody here, but I don't right now. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
You know, as a master reframer, as Chris actually names me as, you know, for all of you CEOs, listen to this again. For anyone who's an entrepreneur or wantrepreneur, listen and get this. This will change the trajectory of you and your future. Very crucial steps. Look, I'm moved. You know, this is so meaty, and I'm just thinking of someone out there who is like, yep, I get it. Or I just want to make sure you get it and you got it. And the way that I want to reframe this last thing for you before we say goodbye is, imagine if you don't know much more than you do know currently in your company and the environment that you're in for another 6 to 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're so allergic to where we're at. It's almost like to really feel, to really understand what maybe you would not have understood when you take the time and analyze, to sit there, feel it, analyze it, maybe reframe it in our mind psychologically and subconsciously. What if I don't even tell my team for 6 to 12 months any more than I know now, but I'm at least authentic about it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe a way to prepare yourself with expectations, because you can only know what you know. But man, when you hold on to these keys and this knowledge and understanding of foundation and pillars in your leadership, Hero, this is so relevant, so amazing,
and
so
your people
rich.
Might look, Nick, your people might surprise you. I think that's, you just said something really important, and that's a good place for us to end, which is when a leader makes space for people to be real, because you're real and vulnerable and open, then it actually opens up something that maybe didn't exist before.
Mm.
And it's happened. We're cracked open. We're all in this together. So try to be your best. And
awesome. Well, I know that many people benefited from this episode. Thank you for watching Leadership Now series with Nick Vujicic and Christine Grimm. We'll join you next week. Please join us. And remember, review, share, and rate this episode. And just know that all the decisions and all the words you're saying and all the actions you're taking are seeds that will reap the benefit of a better decade than before. Everything's working out. Take one step at a time. You're going to be just fine. Love you so much. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Help us reach as many people as possible by giving us a rating, a review, and subscribing to this podcast. Love you so much. And remember, share this with anyone you know who needs to hear this as well. I'll see you next week.